The Music Business Worldwide podcast is supported by Volley Music, a leading financial management platform for the music industry. Volley enables you to track expenses, approve invoices, and make payments 24/7, 365 days a year. For your free trial, head to volleymusic.com. That's VOLYmusic.com.
Hello and welcome to the Music Business Worldwide podcast, supported by Volley Music. My name is Tim Ingham, the founder of Music Business Worldwide, and on this podcast, we dive headfirst into one of the most talked about topics in the music business this year. That topic is, once again, generative AI, but more specifically, the fact that vast volumes of music, vast volumes of tracks, are now being produced by AI platforms and then uploaded onto various streaming platforms, be that as soundtracks to YouTube videos or directly onto the likes of Spotify, etc. There is arguably no one better placed to talk on this topic than Alex Mubert, founder and CEO of the self-titled platform Mubert. That's because in July, Mubert announced that its AI platform had now been used to create more than 100 million music tracks to date, with an average length of each of these tracks of over 4 minutes. As the company pointed out, those 100 million created tracks were roughly the same size in volume as the entire catalogue available on Spotify today. Mubert's sub-platforms include Mubert Render for online content creators, think YouTubers, podcasters, etc., looking to create royalty-free soundtracks for their productions. There's also Mubert Studio for artists and composers, which allows musical creators to earn money for uploading tracks, samples, and loops. On this podcast, you'll hear Music Business Worldwide editor Murray Stassen ask Alex Mubert all about that 100 million track stat and about how AI music is going to change the industry in the years ahead.
Could we start at the beginning of your career in media, tech, and sound? How did you first get started?
So my career started like a long time ago in my Lyceum. I've studied like a lot of programming languages, physics, mathematics, and at the same time I was trying to play guitar, bass guitar, and so on. And when I like ended school, I got two higher education. The first is the tech education, and the second is the jazz music education. So I used to play double bass, bass guitar, bass synths, and so on. And you know, both these careers, they were going quite good. As for music, I used to play on the same stage with Massive Attack, with Red Snapper. I played the AC jazz music, so different kinds of electronic music where I was the bass player. And at the same time, I was focused on the creating new technologies as the creative director, as the technical director. And yeah, so 7 years ago, the idea came up to me. So it was I was running and I was like, you know, messing with all these playlists and tracks. The idea was like, why not to generate the infinite music, which will never stop, never repeats itself. But it will be based on my pace of running. So that's how the idea of Mubert was born.
And before that, when did you first sort of become interested in artificial intelligence? What were you reading or consuming at the time that got you interested in it and that you learned from?
Oh, of course, I was interested in AI, but at that time it was just the first wave of AI booming, I don't know, topic on the internet. So we like had experiments by using AI in web development and in some software development. But yeah, when I got this idea, I came up to my friend. He was the back-end developer. I was the front-end developer. Together, we decided to make this application. It was Mubert was the first in the world. The first algorithm in the world was generating music in real time. So it was not the track on demand. So you just wait like 5 seconds and Mubert starts to generate music. And it was personally for everyone who was connected to the server.
I've got a few questions more about Mubert and what the platform does, the early days of the platform, but I thought I would start off with a couple of big questions just around AI. And there are a number of philosophical and commercial and creative questions around the proliferation of artificial intelligence in the world of art and music. Are the notions of creativity and artistry being challenged by generative AI models? And is AI a threat to artists' livelihoods?
Usually it works the same way. So every technology evolution makes the artists or some people involved into the industry like feeling a little bit bad. But then they also evolve to use this technology like for their creativity. So in my personal experience, AI will be one of the tools to create music, to create art in the future. So it's not the substitute for artists. It's not the competitor. It's just the tool for me.
So going back to when you launched Moverts in 2017, what were your initial plans for what you wanted to achieve with the platform?
Actually, the first idea was to create the music for running, sleeping, meditating, and so on. But I came with this idea to California, and I started to raise the first round, and all the questions were like, what is it for? So nobody will never listen to that. So I got a lot of like negative feedback, both from venture capitals, from musicians, from artists, and so on. So I got a lot of negative feedback. My idea was in the future to create the platform which will solve the problem of copyrights, because I see the great potential for AI to be involved into the creator economy, which is growing like every year. So like some of the, I don't remember, I mean, Goldman Sachs told that the creator economy market will be doubled in a few years. So for this market, it's hard to get the music. It's like hard to find the music on stocks. You cannot use any kind of music because of the license restrictions. So as for me, AI is one of the best solutions for people who are not musicians, who do not know anything about the music production or licensing or mastering, mixing. They can just push two buttons and get the soundtrack, which is like completely royalty-free for them.
You said that when you launched Moverts, it was the first generative AI platform of its kind. How quickly did the space get more active? And what is your take on the attention that the generative AI space has been getting in recent months?
When I started, so there was the app called JukeDeck. It was like music on demand. So you can generate the track and wait some time, and then you can download this track. There was an album done by Brian Eno. It was also based on generative algorithms. But yeah, we were the first who developed an iOS application which generated music in real time. For the next like 1 or 2 years, there were a lot of experiments, a lot of small applications which were trying to do the same thing on App Store and Google Play. But yeah, I mean, Andal, Boomi, Aiva, so they were quite successful in terms of technology, both the technology and marketing.
The space has been getting increasingly active over the past couple of years, and especially in the past few months. A number of tech giants, including Meta, Microsoft, Google, have been researching generative AI for music-related applications. What are your views on their participation in the AI field?
For us, in long-term perspective, we consider like OpenAI, Google, Microsoft, Meta as the main competitors, because they have like true power to generate any amount of music and use any like data set which is available on the web. So for us, we use our own database, and we collected this database for a long time. So we paid a lot of artists for the samples, loops, and one shots that we provide them to use in our data set. So Moverts is completely ethically sourced, and we're looking for to establish the connections with the industry players like major labels, small labels, which will give us an opportunity to involve their content into the AI generative business with a clear vision. So for me, it's very important to use the same royalty-based system, for example, for the artists which provide the content for a data set. So for example, OpenAI, at the moment when they started, they used, I mean, for the first experiments, they used like all the catalog of music, but the future it should be licensed catalog.
Moverts today is a multi-layered business. You run a music streaming service called Moverts Play. It's a sort of, you also have a sort of marketplace for artists to sell loops and samples called Moverts Studio. Then there's Moverts Render for soundtrack and content, and then the Moverts API. Could you give us a brief overview of each of these layers to the business and any parts that I missed out?
Yeah, so the first one, Moverts Play, it was actually that application that I have like mentioned before. So it's the app for listeners. we're not supporting this app, but we're not like turning it off. So we still have it on the App Store, and like thousands of people listen to it every day. So as the main business, it's the product which is called Mubert Render. It's the app for content creators. It's the web application. So they can generate any amount of music based on the text prompt, based on genre, mood. They can like easily get the license for these tracks. So they can generate small jingles, like 15 seconds track, or like 1 hour tracks. So it doesn't matter for us how long the tracks are. So we provide the same license. As for Mubert Studio, it's the web application where the music producers can upload their samples and loops and then monetize them. So we can buy out the rights, and we're in the process of building the royalty-based system where the music producers could get some money from the AI-generated content. And the Mubert API, it's the API for commercial use. So around 30 companies at the moment use the Mubert API commercially, and it provides them all the functions that we have to use in their like services, applications, agency works, and games.
And you mentioned your relationship with real-life musicians and producers. So Mubert has explained in previous announcement that your relationship with musicians is that they contribute to derivative content by topping up Mubert's AI's input, and that they are paid for their contributions. Guess I have a two-part question. How important is that relationship with real-life musicians and producers? Secondly, are you able to give us any insight into how much Mubert has paid out to musicians to date?
There are some numbers. So we have 2.5 million of the separate loops, samples, and short tracks. There are around 10K music producers who created their accounts on Mubert Studio. We bought all the rights for these 2.5 million samples. So for different times, it depended, you know, the price was depending on the different like factors, but it was around $500,000 buy out all the rights. For the future perspective, we are looking for established connections with the music producers where we can not buy the rights for the tracks, but we can distribute the revenue. So, for example, if someone buys the soundtrack for the game, we can distribute the revenue based on the sample usage or like content usage within the data set.
Mubert announced a big milestone recently that 100 million tracks have been created by your generative AI. You make the point of noting that this number is equal to the entire number of tracks available on Spotify, which makes that stat all the more mind-blowing. Could you give us your take on hitting that milestone and the significance of that milestone for Mubert?
Yeah, for us, it's the very important milestone because it gives us, you know, the knowledge that like Mubert is used by many content creators and many listeners and many companies, B2B companies that use our technology. But for the music industry, this milestone doesn't like matter anything. So it's just the one more 100 million tracks that we used somewhere across the web. So they are not uploaded to Spotify. They are not like competitors to, I don't know, Prodigy or Billie Eilish. So these are just the tracks which we apply to the content. So it's more about the sync music. As for future perspective, I think the amount of music which will be generated by AI will be like billions of tracks. So it will be like tens of billions. I don't know. It will be like infinite amount of music. So the fingerprinting system, they should be ready for this amount of music that will soon come to their platforms. Because today we already have the troubles with the content ID and the copyright claims on Twitch and YouTube, because some of our users, they download a lot of tracks generated by Mubert, they publish them on Spotify, and sometimes the false negative copyright claims from YouTube and Twitch, because these tracks use the same sample, so they are like similar to these things, because these algorithms, they are not ideal at the moment. So to let AI music to be involved into the music business, we should establish the business partnerships and connections with the fingerprinting systems, with the major labels and with the small labels, because it will be the huge amount of music soon, really huge.
Do you have a ballpark figure in mind for the total number of tracks that have been created to date by generative AI across the entire AI landscape?
I don't know, but I think it's something close to 200 billion because Boomi, like mentioned, that they have generated around 15 million. I don't know how much were generated in SoundRaw and in Aiva, but I think it's somewhere maybe 200 or 300 million.
There are currently over 100,000 tracks getting uploaded to music streaming services each day. There is concern at some of the biggest music companies in the world about the impact that generative AI is said to have on the supply of content to DSPs. Interestingly, you mentioned, and you also have a big disclaimer on your website stating this, that your tracks are prohibited from being distributed to music streaming services. This is a two-part question. Firstly, why did you decide to restrict distribution of your tracks to music streaming services? Was that initially to keep that within your own ecosystem? Or is that, was there another reason for that? And secondly, are those concerns about AI fueling an oversupply of content to streaming services justified?
Yeah, it was the part of our business model. So we sell the music for the content creators and the agencies. So that's why Mebird should be like completely royalty free. When you upload the music to the streaming service, these tracks, they cannot be royalty free from that moment. So that's why we decided to prohibit it. In the future, we are looking for the solution to let our users to publish this music to like Spotify, whatever, if they will be ready. I'm not sure that they are ready for that because for me, AI helps everyone to become the musician, not only the music producers, but everyone could be the musician by just texting a prompt, by like configuring the track and so on. So it's very easy to generate the track and to publish it in the future. So I more believe into the platforms like BandLab, where you can publish your music as the Instagram story. So it will be super. It will be the platform where a lot of user-generated content will be appearing. So it will give the users an opportunity to become the musicians, to feel themselves as the musicians and to be recognized by the small audiences. And Spotify is not for that. I mean, Spotify, YouTube Music, it's not for that.
Do you think that platforms that are allowing musicians to use generative AI and then publish it to music streaming services are diluting or participating in the dilution of the impression that superstar artists can make on the music business because of the ease of the access to the tools and the potential volume of music that can go up onto streaming services?
You know, the same thing was when YouTube launched and Billie Eilish was one of the artists who became popular by publishing something on YouTube. For me, it's okay. So, I mean, superstars, they will be forever. So it doesn't matter if they are like using, you know, the Spotify or vinyl or it's like the AI content. So the superstars will always like appear on the market. For me, AI could be one of the new business models for the artists, for the famous artists, because with the power of AI, they can let end users to generate the content which is similar to them and use this content on the like video content on TikTok or whatever. So monetize this content and it will not be the like original track, but it will be the derivative track and will give them, you know, both business models. So on the one hand, they could be presented on Spotify or whatever or other services. And on the other hand, they could be presented in the sync music industry by letting neural networks and AI algorithms to use their original content as the data set.
How far off are we from that happening in the music business?
I think we're like super close to that. So there are a lot of conversations between major labels, small labels with the AI tools and algorithms. So we know that Shutterstock, they allowed OpenAI to use their content as the data set. I think that major labels are already looking for that. So for example, Universal Music, they started the collaboration with Andel. It was Universal Music, as I think. Yep. So it's so step by step. It's happening right now.
There seems to be concern amongst music companies and organizations representing rights holders and creators about AI. Why do you think certain organizations or certain representatives of rights holders or creators are so fearful of AI?
They are always like all the organizations that support, that you know, keep the rights, like the middlemen. They always like to be on the same page. They always like to have the same business model. But the technology companies, the creators of new algorithms, they always try to disrupt the market. So that's why all the startups appear. Every like year, thousands and tens of thousands of startups appear to disrupt this market. And market likes to be stable.
There were two big stories around AI that we covered earlier this year, and I was hoping to get your take on these stories. And the first was the saga around the fake Drake AI track Heart on My Sleeve that went viral, and it was eventually taken down. What are your views on that incident specifically, and more broadly speaking, the use of AI-powered voice synthesis to mimic vocals of famous artists?
For me, it's okay. So, because like somewhere between the technology and music. So I think that it's one of the parts of the future that all these AI-based copies of the artists, they will appear. As for the music industry, I think that they should be like a little bit more flexible to the situations like this one, because it will give them more creativity to create the new business models. They are like, it's not so good for them to be so bold and solid in their restrictions, because the flexibility will let them to find the new ways to earn more money, because you know the end users can pay more, $10 that they pay to the streaming service. They can pay like hundreds of dollars by using the AI tools.
The other big story was centered on streaming manipulation involving tracks generated by AI music making app Boomy. Spotify confirmed at the time that certain catalog releases from Boomy were removed because the streaming platform detected artificial streaming of these tracks. I must add here that there was at no time any suggestion that Boomy itself was responsible for the streaming manipulation in question, but the story raised wider concerns around streaming fraud and how the potential vast numbers of tracks generated by AI could be used for fraudulent streaming activity. What is your take on all of that?
As I correctly understand, that the business model of Spotify is not based on the number of tracks. It's based on the number of like streams. It's based on how much the music is listened by the listeners. So they shouldn't be a lot afraid about the amount of music. So they should more concern on the fake listeners. I don't know. So if Umi or some other AI startups, they can upload the unlimited amount of music, but this music will be never, you know, listened that way as the popular music. I don't know what was the concern on their side. So they are losing money from what? I think they are not losing money. I don't believe that it's like the terms of the storage, you know, the amount of like servers that they use to store the music. I'm not sure.
Cloud storage costs?
It costs a lot, but for 100, you know, millions of tracks, it's not so large. So YouTube is much, much, much more larger. You know, it uses a lot, much more the cloud storage. I'm not sure that the problem is in that. So for them, it's like much more. For Spotify, they should be also more flexible in this way. So by letting Boomy to upload the content, they can like explore the new ways for people to listen to this music or to generate their own music, to publish this music. So they can create some more business opportunities for them, and they can enrich the customer journey and the customer, let's say, satisfaction based on the opportunity for them to be the artists.
There's a wider concern from rights holders about generative AI being trained on certain data sets that might include material owned by rights holders, and that the music being generated by these models could produce infringing content. What is your take on that concern in the music business?
Regarding the Midjourney, for example, they use the content to train data sets, which is not licensed. There were a lot of artists that were not okay with that. And me personally, I'm also not okay with that. So I think that the future of AI is to use the licensed content and the licensed data set and to pay the royalty payouts to the artists and to the content owners. So for me, it's very important. for us as Moonbird, it's one of the main, you know, it's one of the key pillars in our like vision and strategy to create the only the ethically sourced data set to use the established connections with the artists and to pay them the royalties or the like buyouts for the content that we use.
I realize we've been speaking for a while and I'm conscious of your time. I've got two more questions, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
What are your predictions for the impact that generative AI will have on the music business over the next 5 years?
I think that it will disrupt the music industry with the amount of music that will appear by letting users, like end users, just the people who are not involved into the music industry to publish the music. So everyone will be the musician. The same thing as we see with the images. So everyone is an artist today by using Midjourney. So they should be ready for that. It's the new, it's like the appearing of Instagram in the photo industry. So we see the same thing in the music industry now.
Where do you want Moonbird to be positioned in the music business in years to come?
I would like to see Moonbird as the platform which connects the content owners, labels, musicians, music producers with the end customers by delivering the new opportunities for them to generate music, to listen to the music, to merge the musical tastes, to find the new ways to create the music and to listen to the music. So the amount of functions which AI can provide to the creator economy is unlimited. We just need to establish the platform which connects the content owners and the end users.
That's all great. Alex, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time.
Likewise.